Hey friends, I'm Rebecca Miller, and this is the I Can Relate podcast. Hey everyone, thanks for joining me for season 3. It's great to be back, and I am honored that you are listening. If you enjoy this podcast and it has been an encouragement to you, I would love it if you would subscribe and give it some stars. This will help others find the podcast and be encouraged. Here on the podcast, I interview people who are passionate about Jesus and sharing what God has done in their life. And my guest today is Tamara Weatherby. And I believe that you will be blessed by the conversation as much as I was. So let's get to the interview. Hey, Tamara, thank you so much for joining me on the I Can Relate podcast. It truly is an honor to have you here. I am so excited about just like the content that you're going to bring. The reason that I asked you to be on the podcast is because what I did see through Instagram. And she's going to dive in, listeners, to what she does as far as her platform and what God has done with that. But I just wanted to say thank you for being on the podcast, and it's going to be great. I think you're going to bring just an impactful message for us all, including me. So go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your family.
Whew, the pressure's on. Okay. Well, I am Tamara Weatherby. I live in Pensacola, Florida. I've lived here for, probably eight, 9 years. Been married, well, it would be 9 years. Been married for 8 years to the love of my life, which I know sounds so cheesy, but he really is. He really is. Aww. And then I have 3 kids, 5, 3, and 1. And I'm just a stay-at-home mom who does a little influencing on the side and kind of started into that by accident. And now I love it. Like, I find it really fun. I find it something that I can do and relate to people, get to know people, be a testimony to people, but also make money from home so I can stay home with my kids. So that was always really important to me. So I was kind of glad that it kind of fell into my lap by chance.
Yeah. And just expounding on that, when you say it fell into your lap by chance, what happened for it to fall into your lap?
Well, I had worn this makeup for a long time, and then people are like, you need to sell this, you need to do this. And I kind of was like, no, that's not, you know, the influencer. I didn't even like that term. I was like, oh, that's just so, I'm too old for this. And people are like, no, I think you do really well. So I just kind of started not selling, but just sharing what I loved. Yeah. And truly, like, in an honest way, not just to make money, but to seriously help people with what I loved. And it just caught on so fast that it was kind of like the snowball effect. And I was like, why is everyone getting everything that I have? Like, they really trust me. And I think they could tell that I was real. Like, I wasn't just trying to make a dollar. I was really showing them what I love.
Yeah, no, that's really good. It's actually really funny because I remember on Facebook, you did this. And again, let me preface to the listeners, like, I have never met Tamara in person. This is the first time I am like physically talking to her face to face. We've been Instagramming, messaging, and that's kind of been our connection, really, honestly. And then I just have followed her or seen her through a distance. But I remember, Tamara, on Facebook, you did a live with your mom. Live or video, and you were doing makeup with her. It was so funny. Like, you guys together, because your mom's pretty funny too.
And oh yeah, she's going, just as crazy as I am. Yeah, I did not know that you saw that. So that's crazy. I
kind of have like a fun question for you. What was it like? Because you come from a big family, right?
Yeah. So you
grew up in a big family, and you had, if I counted correctly, you have 6 sisters and 1 brother, correct?
Good job. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I did my due diligence. So I want to know, what was it like to grow up in this really big family?
It was a total nut house. Like, I don't know if you know this, but I was homeschooled for all my life.
Oh, wow.
So, and so were a lot of my siblings, but you know how like homeschoolers get like a bad reputation of being like shy and all that. But right. I think because there was so many of us, that we just knew how to actually talk to other human beings. Yeah. And our teen group was our life because that was the only life we had outside of homeschooling with all of our siblings. It was a blast though. If I could handle 8 kids, I would have 8 kids, but I can't even hardly handle the 3 that I have because it was so fun. It really was. There was always something going on. It was a blast. And I'm dead in the middle. So I'm the 5th.
Okay.
So there was stuff before me and stuff after me. So I was just always in the middle of everything.
That's awesome. And your brother, like, what was it like for him? Like,
he was a spoiled little brat. And he's probably going to listen to this and be like, no, I wasn't. But he always got his own room and his own bathroom. And all of us girls are all piled on top of each other. So he was spoiled.
He was living the good life, even though he had 7 sisters.
But you know what? He has made a great husband to this day because he had all these girls to show him the way. And he is an awesome husband. So you're welcome, Carrie. That's my sister-in-law.
Okay. That's right. She should definitely thank you, right? You helped him to become a better person. So you have 3 kids and you talked about how, what are their ages?
5, 3, and 1.
Okay. Yeah. So you have them close in age and they're keeping you busy and on your toes.
Oh yes. All the time.
And then your husband, is he in full-time ministry or what does he do?
He is part-time assistant pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And then he started his own home inspection company.
Okay.
So he does that. He pretty much does that full-time and then the pastoring part-time.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, this was really great to find out a little bit more about you. And one of the things that I like to talk about on the podcast is really people's stories and just how they came to know Christ. And I would love for you to share how you began your relationship with Christ.
Okay. This is probably going to be a little different than like, I got saved when I was 5 and, you know, all the things that normal people say. Mine is not like that. Mine is more of my life-changing moment was more of a come to Jesus moment.
Okay.
I was saved when I was young, but I didn't remember it. So I got assurance of salvation when I was a teen at a Christian teen camp. And, you know, I was raised in a Christian home. My parents got saved in their 20s, but it was before they had all their kids. And so I was raised to know better. So I do want to just throw that out there because this has nothing to do with my parents. I was definitely the black sheep of the family, you know, the 1 of 8. And people are like, oh, no, you weren't. And I'm like, oh, yes, I was. Actually, you have no idea. But I went to college, a Christian college down here in Florida. And I went for a year and it was kind of like freedom for me. I was kind of like, I can do whatever I want, kind of. Yeah. And so my parents could tell that because when I came home for the summer, they were like, you know, the friend choices you've made or something is off. So they sent me to a Christian college in California. And I went there for a couple of years. I just got my associates, but I had met a guy on spring break at my sister's house in Oklahoma. And long story short, it just after college, I ended up moving there and ended up just being a really, really bad relationship. People didn't know. I think some people did, but my parents were not there. You know, they lived in a totally different state. I was living on my own, paying for everything on my own. And I was determined in my little stubborn heart that I was going to marry this guy. And still going to church. I mean, I was still on bus ministries. I was still doing all the things, but living a very secretive, sinful life. And I'm embarrassed of that time of the sins that I did, but I'm also like kind of, you go through everything for a reason. And so these things that happened has like really opened up my eyes to what I'm going to teach my children and like instill in them at a very young age. Like love and lust are 2 totally different things. And, you know, this is why you wait to do anything before you get married because you're completely blind. And so I guess my real come to Jesus moment was my parents were constantly praying for me. I mean, like constantly on my back. And I was just like, you don't understand. You're not here. And the friends and the peers that I had at the time that were Christian friends, you know, were telling me, this is fine. Your parents don't know. They're not here. He's a Christian guy. And so I just remember literally, and I don't cry. You can ask my mom. She's like, you need to have a heart. I'm just not a crier, but I remember leaving work and I was crying so hard that my head was just literally pounding. And I was just like, God, you have got to show me I am stubborn. I am so strong-willed. Like, show me, don't show me through my parents. Don't show me through this guy. Like, cause we had broken up and gotten back together a million times. And, and I just remember praying that, and that was like my rock bottom. And, it was like, God took control of my life for the next 2 weeks. I quit my job. I packed up everything I owned. I called my sister, my oldest sister here in Florida, and said, can I come live with you? I broke it off with him. If I would have stayed, it would have continued on. And so I moved, and I wasn't truly, you know, I was just like, I cannot believe that just happened. Like, I cannot believe these 2 weeks of my life were a blur. It was like God seriously took over my life, because I wouldn't have been able to do that myself. And I moved in with my sister, and I moved in May of 2013, and May of 2014, I was married to the most awesome polar opposite man. And I think that was my come to Jesus moment. Like, I was just exhausted from trying to do things my way, that I finally fell to my knees and was like, God, take over my life. You know, use me, do what you want with me, because I cannot do this anymore. Yeah. And I'm so thankful to my parents, because I know parents that they think they're going to lose their child because they're in love and this is the way I'm doing it, and I'm marrying them whether you like it or not. And I know a lot of parents, including some of my friends' parents, who have given in to that. And my parents didn't. And I know people are like, that's so harsh. That's not love. But it 100% was, because they saved my life. Like, they really did. If I would have married this person, I do not know. I do know where I would be. I would be divorced. I would be probably abusive relationship. It would just be a holy train wreck. So, and I'm so thankful to my parents for not giving up, not letting the devil have me, not letting, you know, the influences of others, and let me just do what I want, because they wanted to be my friend or be in my life. So I have them to thank for that. It may not have worked for, I don't know, maybe a girl who wasn't as strong-willed as me and was very, like, you know, maybe more delicate, but I think my parents knew that, as the strong-willed girl who doesn't listen to what anybody has to say, that's what they had to do. And I am thankful for it.
Yeah, that's really good.
Sorry, that was a lot.
No, it was beautiful. That was a wonderful testimony of just how the Lord, he does, he kind of brings us to rock bottom, and for us, you know, we need to acknowledge God, right? I mean, yes. When you think about the thief on the cross, and I mean, he had done probably not much good his whole life. He wasn't, you know, he was up there for a reason, right?
He was a thief. Yeah.
And so when he looked to Jesus and he said, remember me, that was his come to Jesus moment. That was his moment of salvation. Cause she mentioned the word to all my listeners. If you are kind of new to maybe being a Christian, or you do not know Christ, salvation, or the word saved, means that you're saved from your sins, that you've been set free through Jesus Christ. And that's what salvation is. And so the thief on the cross, all he said was, remember me. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was an acknowledgement of God. And I think that is such a beautiful thing, that you realize, like, whoa, like, I need God in my life. What am I doing? Like, I'm just creating a mess. And how God just reaches down and pulls us out and sets our feet on a rock on him. And that's beautiful. And I wanted to ask you, what is one area of your life that, you know, over the years, that God has grown you the most?
Probably just being, okay with who I am in him, because, I'm pretty crazy. Like, I'm pretty out there. I'm loud mouth, you know? And so I think in some Christian circles, you know, women are supposed to be these meek and mild, you know, prim and proper. And that's just not me. And so I've been both ways where like, oh, I need to settle down. I need to, and so I've kind of figured, I don't know. I think God's kind of shown me who I need to be as an influencer, as a mom, as an assistant pastor's wife. You know, there are times where you do need to be meek and mild and listen to others and help others and compassionate. And then there are times where I need to be outspoken and speak up for myself or speak up for others. And I think God's helped me to kind of find myself and the balance of what's right with being true to who I am, but also being a Christian. Does that make sense?
Yes, it's definitely totally makes sense and having that balance. And I think a question, you know, leading into that is, you know, what do you do when the critics come and try to make you feel like, oh, you shouldn't be this way? Or, you know, how do you respond to those critics?
Back in the day, like when I was just a little bit more immature, which I'm still pretty immature, let's be honest. But when I was even more immature, I remember, you know, I grew up with six sisters. There's a lot of hormones in that house with six sisters. Oh, and I remember always speaking my truth to them. Whether it hurt their feelings or not, this is what I thought was true. And I was going to tell them. And I'll never forget my older sister saying, whether you think it's true or not, you hurt them and that's wrong. And I was like, bing, it was like a light bulb moment for me. Like, oh yeah. Like, even if it is true, that's really hurtful. So, which sounds so like so small and like, duh, but I didn't get that because that's just my abrasive personality. So,
when you said, you know, I'm over the years, God has grown me of being okay with who I am. Is there one specific incident that you can remember that was like kind of a turning point for you? That was like, yeah, I'm going to walk in this freedom of who God created me to be.
Okay. So I would say it wasn't like one exact moment. It was kind of my husband that helped me to realize, you know, who he is who he is. Like, he is the most kind-hearted, caring person I've ever met. And he would just tell me, you know, if what you are doing is right with the Lord and your relationship with Jesus is what's is right, that it doesn't, other people's opinion of you doesn't matter as long as you know what you're doing is right. And so that's kind of slowly, he has just said that slowly, you know, incorporated that into our marriage. And I think that's really grown me to just be secure in who I am as a Christian and also as an influencer, because even being a Christian influencer, you're going to get some hate. But you know, with Jesus on your side, and if you're good with him, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's really good. You know, with that platform that God has given you, what are some things that God has taught you through this and through having this platform?
I think as of recently, he's taught me to speak up more. It's, about him, because with the whole last 2 years of the pandemic, Black Lives Matter, the politics, you were scared to say either way, because you could completely lose everything with the cancel culture, really. Yeah. And so I kind of backed up from a lot of things because I was just afraid of losing everything. So I just said nothing. So it's just been recently that I've been talking to some girls that are like under me on this team thing. And I'm like, we really need to be a little more outspoken about Jesus. And I have been some, but I want to do more. And I think that's where I'm growing more right now, because I was just so afraid. I mean, I even lost family members over like not talking to me and blocking me over stuff over this past 2 years. And it's just been crazy. The world went crazy. And so I was a little bit scared, but I think God's really teaching me, like, this is what he gave me this platform for. And so, I've really been talking to my girls. I'm like, let's be more outspoken for Jesus, no matter what the backlash is, good or bad. Like, let's just keep going, because this is what God wants us to do and use our platforms for. So I'm kind of getting out of my head, trying to get out of my head about that and just do it and do what God would have me to say. I do not think that I'm very good at speaking like on this podcast. I'm not very good with live stuff. Well, thank you.
Seriously.
I feel like I'm not good at speaking seriously. So I don't want to also send the wrong message or get people confused. I'm really like, I don't want to turn people away because they're like, this girl makes no sense. So I've been praying recently, like, God, you just give me what to say and I'll say it. And hopefully he'll speak through me and hopefully it'll make sense for him.
That's right. And I think the fact that you're asking the Lord for those things and that wisdom and that, he will give you the right thing to say, and he will lead and guide you and all of those things. And I think even with your platform, it's a matter of trust, right? It's trusting in the Lord with the thing that he has given you. And so it's like, okay, Lord, you gave me this platform. You gave me this opportunity to be an influencer. I'm just going to trust you with the result. And I think that's walking in obedience. I think that's walking in faith and trust in God. And then again, you know, just kicking it up a notch in the world that we're living in, who needs to hear more about Christ.
Yes.
And just more about the hope of Jesus and how, as Christians, we can have fun. And
yes,
we can still lift up the name of Jesus. You know, we don't have to be stoic. We can, you know, Jesus is a celebration every day. And so, that's
I love great. That. Jesus is a celebration every day. I'm going to use that.
Good. Do it. That's awesome. See, I just influenced you, right?
In a look at there. Moment. You didn't even know.
And I did. That's right. And so the Lord led me and he led me to say that to you. And now you're going to get to use that on your platform. Woo-hoo.
Let's go. I'm ready.
What a team effort. But no, seriously, I think that God is going to use you in you having that mentality. That's just God working in your life to continue to grow you as a Christian and a believer and someone who's stepping in their faith and trying to do things for the Lord on a grandiose scale, right?
Yes.
Is that the word grandiose? Grand.
Close enough.
Grander. What is the word? I feel like there's another word for it, but.
Grandiose is probably Spanish for it.
That's right. Well, I want to know, okay, because being vulnerable can be difficult. And so, you know, being on the platform that you are, I know that you are vulnerable. The question is, what's the hardest thing about being vulnerable for you?
Okay. Now I know my answer. Since you gave me the definition, I knew it was going to have something to do with emotions. I'm like, no! And I am really, you can ask my husband, he's probably seen me cry in our whole marriage. I don't even know, maybe once or twice, and somebody probably died. I don't even know. I'm just not an emotional person.
Okay.
But I do have, I'm a very good, so if I don't know if you've ever taken like the spiritual gifts test or whatever it is, and my encouragement is like the top, but at the bottom is my mercy.
Okay.
So like I can encourage people all day. I am in your corner. I will root you on. I will counsel for hours. I will sit there and listen to you and give you steps of action to take. And my biggest downfall is the mercy when they're like, go a whole other way and don't listen to a thing I said and just wasted my time. Then I'm like, I'm done. And trust me, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. So, and I think that's where not having like a lot of emotions comes into play. Cause I'm like, forget you. Like, I am trying so hard to help you. And so my sisters know this about me. They're like, we know we didn't take your advice. You're not going to listen to us anymore. So I think that would be my hardest part about, I will be vulnerable and I will be upfront all day. If Jesus came down himself or the president or whatever came and asked me my testimony, what are your biggest faults? What is the biggest sins? I have no problem with giving my testimony and letting people know I am not perfect. I don't think I'm all that. I don't think I'm any better than anybody else. And you know, but when it comes to like people being like, by, you know, brushing me off or whatever, after, you know, you spent that time, I don't know. That's why I'm like, no mercy. And I'm working on it because it's the bottom of my spiritual gifts doesn't mean I can't work on it. But I think that's where not having like a very, not being very emotional person comes into play. Cause I just get like a little crabby, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. I mean, I've had those moments too, where like the mercy is low as well.
Oh yeah.
You have to live in the freedom of who God has created you to be. And that also doesn't mean like we are excusing our actions of growth in sanctification, right? We need to be growing in the Lord, and he's going to refine us. He's going to be working in us to correct some things, right? But I think walking in that freedom of who you are, I think allows you to be vulnerable because you realize who you are in Christ.
This day and age when, and I would know because I live on social media, but just the comparison of I'm not better than them. I can't ever do that. I can't, but you're your own person and God's made you exactly who he wants you to be. And you have special gifts that I would never be able to do. And I have special gifts that you would never be able to do. Yeah. And God has a calling for each and every one of us to, you know, live out his perfect will for our lives.
You know, the enemy is still going to creep up at times, and he's going to tempt you with all of that same garbage that you're thinking about because he just wants you discouraged. So you won't be living to your fullest for him, and that other people won't see the joy of the Lord. And our, you know, we need to reach people for Christ. And so we can't do that if we're like this, you know, down in the dump about and focusing on ourselves, right? We're putting our thoughts on ourselves instead of on Christ and what can I do for him? So,
and that's literally why we have to stay in the Word, like, because the devil would want nothing more than destroy your life or your husband's or your ministry, because those are the ones that are doing things for the Lord. So Christians, even if you're not in the ministry, you're just your daily life of ministering to others, the devil would want nothing more than to destroy you and to have you be hard on yourself or down or depressed. But that's just why we have to stay in the Word, memorizing verses and things like that, so that that's what we fill our head with and not the devil.
That was great encouragement. And so thank you again, Tamara, for being on the podcast. And I know
this was fun.
Yeah, I know that the listeners are really going to enjoy, especially if anyone follows you already. I'm sure they're wanting to know how you tick and, you know, what God has done in your life to bring you to the point that you are at. So I think it's great. I know your people, your followers, they're going to enjoy this episode. But I do want you to share with any new people that are listening to the podcast, or maybe who don't know who you are, where they can find you on your social media platform.
I'm mostly on, I'll just say my Instagram, which is mostly what I'm on, but that would be just my name, Tamara, T-A-M-A-R-A, _, and then Weatherby, W-E-A-T-H-E-R-B-E-E. And that's it.
And you can send her a message and connect with her there. And if this podcast has encouraged you in any way, and her message, please send her a message to encourage her, to let her know that she has influenced you and encouraged your life for the better. And I think she'll be a joy to your feed. It will be a lot of fun on your feed.
A lot of crazy, but a lot of fun.
That's right. But seriously, connect with her and share this podcast if you are listening. That always helps more people find the podcast, is if you subscribe, you write a review, and you also share with a friend. And so thank you for doing that. Anyone who has done that and or who will do that. And thank you for listening on to the I Can Relate podcast.